Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. A couple things before, and actually I've been blessed. Ethan has invited Beth and I out to the wedding. I'm going to get to participate in the wedding. So I'm not going to do the actual ceremony, but he asked that I come and deliver a gospel message to those who are going to come to his wedding. So Beth and I will be out there. So I'm guessing we're taking the card. Is that the plan? I wasn't part into that on that part, so if you get a chance, you can do that. Just one thing, I love this morning. I think it's so important that we honor our moms, and it's just not once a year. I mean, you know, it's sad that sometimes we only think of our mothers once a year. But I wrote this down. Mother, noun. The woman who loves you unconditionally from birth, the one who puts her kids before herself, and the one who you can always count on above everyone else. Just telling her your problems makes you feel better because mothers always know how to make it all go away. Even if you fight, know that she's just looking out for your best interests. I think it's short and sweet, but we do something a little bit special today. So all of you moms, grandmoms, anti-moms, that's not anti-moms, anti-moms, surrogate moms, step-moms, adoptive moms, maybe mothers-to-be, would you please stand? Yeah. Remain standing, because we've got something special for you. Let them in. Release the hounds. And just remain standing until you get a flower, and we have not over the years perfected this. They'll get to you eventually. Hi, go find. Hey guys, over here, still standing. See the lady still standing? Go, go, go. Win. Oh. Okay, I think we did it. There's no more standing, so you... Good job, guys. They crack me up. Okay, you're all done. It always takes a little while. It's like herding cats. But it makes it more special, I think. All right. Why don't you open your Bibles to the book of Titus, Paul's letter to Titus. We're going to begin that this morning. Before we do that, I want to pray for moms, and then I have something else that I must address this morning. And Lord, I just lift up, I just thank you for moms and the heart that you've given our moms, Lord, and their love for us, Lord, their support, their unconditional love. And Lord, when we're down, they always seem to be able to pick us up. And Lord, I pray that you would lift them up, that you would, Lord, just minister to their hearts this morning, Lord, as We certainly want to lift them up, and we just thank you, Lord, for them and for all that they have done. Just bless them today, Lord, we pray in Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. All right, one other thing, and because it's going around, and I know, I think I addressed this maybe a month ago, there has been a release of the UFO files. And look, most of us, and I hope that we're all grounded enough in the truth of God's word to understand that try and use my words carefully here. Hopefully your baloney meter's going off, like my baloney meter's going off. The problem is that, and some people have already seen this, and this is why I'm going to address it, that there are self-promoting pastors that have come out and claimed that they were invited to a special meeting that was being directed by government officials or people involved in the government. And I'm going to name names. One of them, Perry Stone, who wasn't even at the meeting, has been on YouTube, and I mean, he's talking about green lizards and flying saucers, which other pastors who were at the thing have come out and said those things were never claimed. They've already had to apologize for a number of things. I want you to understand what that is all about. It all came out of a gathering at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. It was not put on, or the invitation was not by government officials. It was actually by these people that claim to have connections with the government, who have written books about UFOs and demonic activity, and they're the ones that invited these special pastors. And look at Alan Didio, Ben Hughes, Fred Price was one of them from the Faith Dome in LA. I know a lot about him. Mike Signorelli, Tony Marco, actually is a podcaster, talked about it. But you get the picture. These prominent pastors were actually invited by, it was for self-promotion, to promote their books. It was not put on by government officials. It was not like an impromptu thing. It was actually born out of this National Religious Broadcasting Convention. And the warning was, and I believe the warning, now the warning needs to go out, that these documents are being released. They're being released a little by little, you know, little glowing objects flying around they can't explain. Like I said, no mention of any green men or supposed actual spaceships and stuff, but we know that there's going to be a great deception that's going to come upon the world. The Lord talks about that the world will be handed over to strong delusion. This is going to be one of them, you know, and we can, you know, there will be those that say that this is a preparation for an explanation of the harpazo, or the catching up of the church, the rapture. You all know where I stand if you're a little bit newer. I'm going to be harpazoed. Everybody has a problem with rapture, but harpazo is actually the Greek for what's going to happen. But that'll be a way that they can explain away the catching up of the church to be with the Lord. And just know that it's coming out, and it's going to throw, I think, many in the church for a loop. And I think that it's purposeful, and it's been prepared over years to do that. But don't buy into the presentation of those that are being invited to special meetings and stuff like that. That's just, listen, that's clickbait. They're after your checkbook, just so you understand. They're doing it for clicks so that they can make more money. So if you have seen those things or been drawn away, I've checked everywhere I can check to see exactly what the truth is about it. It was actually two meetings, and there was a representative, I believe, from Arkansas who called into one of the meetings, not both of the meetings. And so it's just blurry, you know, and so don't be drawn away by that deception for those that are trying to promote themselves. But be aware that that information's coming out and people are going to have questions, and people probably within the church, people that you know. Our answer is this, that the foundation of the church is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of his word. That's what we stand on. Anything, all these emanations and these reported, sightings and stuff like that. Look, we know that there is a demonic realm that wants to deceive and to trick those, you know, those of the faith. So just be aware that it's coming out. And as, you know, I saw some of the stuff that has been released, it's all hokey to me, you know. They can't figure out these things, whatever. Because they reject the truth. And so, you know, that's going to leave questions, right, in the air about what's really going on. So, all right, let's, while we stand this morning, we're going to go through the first four verses of Titus this morning. And it says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would just solidify, Lord, our faith, that it would be surely planted upon the foundation of the truth of your word this morning, Lord. And Lord, for the benefit of the church, that we would encourage one another, that we would edify one another, not just in our words, but Lord, in the lives that we lead. Lord, desiring to lift one another up and not prop ourselves up, Lord. Lord, help us to be, Lord, unselfish and unconditional in our love one for another, Lord. And we just pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church. We pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Please be seated. A little background on Paul's letter to Titus. Titus was one of the men who accompanied Paul, and mainly on his third missionary journey. Paul says he is a true son of mine, one who came to faith, no doubt, through Paul's ministry and also ministered to Paul. In 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us that he was hoping that when he went to Troas, that he would find Titus there. So he had sent Titus on a mission. And I guess the plan was that when he went to Troas in his travels, that Titus would then meet him there and then continue to accompany him on his travels. He told those in Troas that his heart was unsettled, his spirit was unsettled, because Titus did not show up, but he took leave of the brethren there and he went to Macedonia. Evidently, Titus had taken one of Paul's letters, and one of the stern ones, the one that may be missing. There's evidence that Paul wrote more than two letters to Corinth. One of them, he was really concerned about how they would receive it, and it may very well be that Titus was the one that took that letter based on what Paul had to say to the Corinthians in his second letter. And he expected his return while he was in Troas. In 2 Corinthians 7, we're told that Titus joined Paul in Macedonia. And while in Macedonia, Paul, we're told he experienced a lot of trials. There were conflicts. But he was comforted by the report that Titus brought back from the Corinthian believers of their affection and their support of Paul. And Paul was concerned that maybe he would turn them off. In 2 Corinthians 8, Paul mentions the liberal giving of the church there in Macedonia, despite the trials that they were going through and really the poverty of the people. Paul says they gave liberally even though they didn't have much. And the reason why he reported that, because he had sent Titus to Corinth to encourage them to fulfill a promise that they had made to give out of their abundance. And the Corinthian church was a little bit more well off, but they had made this pledge to aid the suffering church in Jerusalem. And so as he went around, the churches would pledge money to help out those who were in Jerusalem. So Paul wanted them to fulfill their promise, and so he sent Titus, somebody that they were well aware of, they knew him pretty well, to collect that pledge, to encourage them to follow through. So taking the second letter of Paul, Paul commended that Titus was trustworthy to receive their gift and to deliver it to those that it was intended for. There were those false teachers and those that were discouraging the church at Corinth. Titus and Paul, they're just going to take it and they're going to use it for themselves. They're trying to, you know, pull a fast one on you. And so Paul needed to give Titus that authority and certainly his recommendation. From Galatians, we also know that Titus was with Paul and Barnabas in Jerusalem. Now, on one occasion, Paul had taken Timothy, and in order to make him more acceptable to the Judaizers or the Jewish branch of the church, Timothy he had circumcised. You know, the idea of to the Jew that they could be a Jew and to the Greek a Greek. It didn't work out so well. Yet in Galatians, we're told that Titus was not compelled to be circumcised because he was 100% Greek. The difference was Timothy was half Greek, half Jew. And so he wasn't compelled to get circumcised. Being a Gentile, as I said, Titus was with Paul all the way to the end of Paul's life and ministry. And ultimately, Paul would make that journey to the Isle of Crete. He went there and he did minister at the Isle of Crete. Crete is about 160 miles long, 30 miles wide. And at the Isle of Crete, it was notorious for the people who lived there. They were pagan. It was a very immoral culture. They had a terrible reputation, even among the Greeks. It was a Greek island. It was a derogatory statement. If you've ever been called a Cretan, that doesn't mean something good. Paul, even quoting Greek philosopher Epimenides here in Titus, he says, all Cretans are liars. And interesting, there is mention of Cretans or those from the area of Crete at Pentecost. If you go back and read that there were some from Crete who heard the apostles who were preaching in tongues, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's very possible that those who had heard the gospel message in their own language, in the Cretan language, went back and maybe tried to start establishing fellowships concerning the truth and the gospel. Now here in this letter, Paul gives the purpose of the letter in verse 5. It's to set in order the things that were lacking in the church at Corinth. And for us, for the church today, we need to recognize the necessity of order in the church. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes to that church that everything is to be done decently and in order. And here in the first verse, Paul lays out for the church as a whole, not just for Titus, not just for the churches in Crete, but for the churches as a whole. First, we see the privileges of ministry. You see, it's less about a title or an assumed authority as it is in service to one another and to a supreme authority. And the second is the purpose of ministry. It's according to letter. It's after that word word according to. It means better or after the manner of or concerning. And so it's the purpose of the ministry is for the faith of the church and acknowledgement of the truth of God's word. Faith and truth, listen, these are the pathways to godliness, to living a holy life. And so he says in verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. Now, Paul identifies as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He does in many of his letters. That is, one who has been officially sent by the Lord. Now, he's a little different than the other apostles. He was not one who saw Jesus Christ physically or walked with Jesus Christ as he was physically upon this earth and ministering upon the earth. He did see Jesus, though, on the road to Damascus. Jesus divinely revealed himself to Paul. So Paul was called, as Paul says, out of due time to be added to the apostles and called as an apostle. But I want us to notice that Paul doesn't lead his letter with his title of authority. He begins, Paul, a bondservant of God, a bondslave, a doulos. And he says, I'm a bondservant in the service of God. You see, it was actually a very respectable position. It was an honorable thing to be called a servant of the Most High. When you compare that to Moses and Elijah and David, they were servants of the Most High. That title puts the focus where it should be, especially in the church. The focus needs to be on God and not on the person who has been given the title or the authority. We live in a culture that puts so much attention on titles or a perceived authority or privilege because of the position that that person holds. The cult of personality has all but blurred out one's ability to come with the expectation of drawing near to Jesus Christ. Paul, Peter, they acknowledge that they are first of all fellow servants with the saints, with the body of Jesus Christ. I believe that what we need to understand is this: the authority and power to lead others to God's grace and the free gift of God's salvation does not come from a title or a position. No, the real power to witness and lead others to Jesus Christ, I believe, will be more effective through serving one another, through service. And I want you to stop and think of who it was that had the greatest impact of your coming to faith in Jesus Christ. As I think, you know, I was thinking back, I can say it wasn't a particular pastor. Now, there were pastors who taught the Word of God, certainly that made a great impact on my life as I, you know, when I first started going to Calvary Chapel of West Covina, I had been through I'm not making a blanket statement on things. I had been to the Baptist church, grew up in the Baptist church. I grew up in the Presbyterian church. My parents were the kids, you know, school teacher, Sunday school teachers. So I got fed a lot of the Bible. But I can tell you, nobody that I, you know, in my younger years, actually went through the Bible verse by verse and taught the Bible, you know, from Genesis to Revelation, until I had gone and started, you know, hearing Raul Ries teach. No doubt made a big impact on my life. But as I think back, it was my coaches, my aunt, my mother, friends in college. There were random people that God sent into my life that were bold enough to speak into my life. There were men in this fellowship early on before I was called into ministry who came alongside, invited me to the men's conferences and those different things that were open, you know, and that were servants, that they were examples of what a servant was, more so than even the pastor who was here at the time, but a pastor that faithfully taught God's word. And just in their serving the Lord, that had probably the greatest impact in my life. Men and women who lived out the gospel, who walked with a genuine faith that was evident in how they served one another and served others. And I recognize the importance. Listen, I as I said, the importance of a pastor who teaches the word of God. It's the power of God. You know, God's word is the power of God unto salvation. We cannot at the same time ignore the power of God's word that is preached through our lives to one another. The lives of those who believe as we live our lives for the Lord. And here Paul's instructing Titus. Titus, it's not our serving others, or it's about our serving others. Not our position, not our title. It's according to, it's concerning the faith of the elect and the acknowledgement of the truth. And then he goes on, he says, which accords or which matures or grows into godliness. It grows one's walk with the Lord and holiness. Same word, godliness and holiness. 10 times in the three letters to, or the two letters to Timothy and this one letter to Titus, God uses that word about godliness. And he says, our main concern is serving God and ministering to the body of Jesus Christ to build up the faith and for the acknowledgement. Literally, it's to become fully acquainted with the truth, which matures into godliness, growing in God's grace. He's saying to become fully acquainted. And that can only happen not only as, you know, that's not just the pastor's responsibility, although it is the pastor's responsibility, I believe, just as Paul said, I have not failed to deliver to you the full counsel of God's word. I think that is absolutely a pastor's responsibility. But you have a responsibility to be in it yourself, to be Bereans, to take it in and spend that time alone in the Lord's word. And so he says, listen, it's to become fully acquainted so that we can grow and mature in godliness and in God's grace. And so he says, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Mind-blowing. Paul uses this term elect and here eternal life, which God promised before time began. Now there is this division in the church on isms: Calvinism, Arminianism, election, predestination, salvation, you know, and the sovereignty of God and free will. And I do not deny it is absolutely true that God, that you know, that Jesus said it. He said, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." But for me, it's a lot more simple than the two camps have made it. Because to me, what sounds like being discussed is not election and predestination, but selection and predetermination, which is not biblical. For me, it's not as hard as the theologians have made it out to be. You know, the key is here, I believe, is from the foundation of the world. because of free will, man was, you know, God, before he even created man, gave man free will and knew that there was going to be a point where man would disobey him. And as sin entered and man was separated from God, God had a plan of redemption from the foundation of the world, and he instituted it. In eternity, listen, there are going to be two destinations that he had determined from the foundation of the world. This is my, I'm just going to throw it out there. I mean, I'm a simple guy. Predestination, there's two destinations from the foundation of the world. There's two. There's heaven, there's hell. There's eternity with God, and there will be eternity separated from God. Two destinations, predestined. Not predetermined, predestined. Your response to Christ's redemptive work on the cross will determine your destination. Now, some are afraid, you know, if faith is your response, that somehow that adds to the finished work of redemption. That's really, you know, I'm going to simplify it. That's where the whole thing kind of gets thrown out of balance. And I know it's not that simple for many of you. Please don't take what I'm saying the wrong way. But I'm just going to tell you right now, our faith isn't in isms here. Our faith is in the whole truth of God's word. And so God chose to give, you know, this idea that, you know, that they believe that God gave you the faith to believe. That, to me, negates free will altogether. They think that your believing is a work, so God has to have planted the faith in you. Yet if you reject God's free gift of grace, that's your decision, which doesn't make any sense to me either. And I know it's confusing. I don't believe God meant it to be this hard or confusing. You see, the invitation is believe in me, and that invitation is made to everybody, to whosoever. Nowhere does the Bible say, you will believe in me, you will believe in me, and you won't believe in me. That's predetermination. Or you have been selected. I always like to use this example because I'm a dumb jock. I grew up playing all kinds of sports. And it's easy for me because in sports, especially when you are younger and you're on the playground and you were going to play and you have all your friends around and you'd start choosing teams, right? Now, you weren't the captain. You were certainly not raising your hand when the captain who you didn't want to play for was picking, right? But when the captain that was picking that you wanted to be on was picking, you're jumping up and down. Pick me, pick me. You understand what I'm saying, right? And so I see it this way. There's two teams. There's God's team and there's Satan's team. And I simply just, when Jesus was picking his team, man, I saw that I want to be on the winning team too. You all know what I'm talking about, right? I don't want to be on the losing team. And so Jesus is picking his team. It's all there presented right in front of me. We're going to win. And I said, pick me. Pick me. And Jesus said, I choose you. It's got to be that simple. We like to make it hard. But see, the thing is, what they're afraid of is incorrect as far as faith being a work. Faith is not a work. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law, for by works of the law no flesh shall be justified. You know, when you that Jesus said, I am the door, my sheep enter in. You know, they, and on that door, it reads this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, not the elect, not the predetermined, that whosoever, the invitation goes out to all. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Revelation 22, 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. And the question really boils down to this. What will you do with the invitation? You can reject the invitation or you can open the door and enter in. And when you do, when you get to the other side, you will see on the above that door, you did not choose me, I chose you. You have a choice. And you also have a choice when it comes to serving one another. And as you grow in faith and truth, that fruit that you bear can have an effect on others to lead them along and to grow and mature in their faith. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 27, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so Paul telling Titus, and you know, but he says, in hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to their command, the commandment of God our Savior. Paul says, these things God has revealed in due time through me, and he's talking about, but and certainly. You know, we know that he did the same through the other apostles, but we can say mainly through Paul. Paul wrote to, you know, we have recorded the teaching, 2/3 of the New Testament is the teaching of Paul. No doubt, all of the apostles preached these truths, yet God used Paul to write these things down. Not only for that generation of church, as the church was you know, given birth to and was planted and beginning to grow, but written down, and they've been preserved through the generations to strengthen the church. So as the church grows, it would be organized. There would be order and foundation, and the foundation of the order would be Titus and Timothy, and then the pastors and elders that they were being instructed to raise up to be faithful ministers and servants of the Lord. Those who would continue the work to build the faith of the church through the teaching of the truth of God's word. Paul says that was committed to me according to the commandment of God. And here in his letter to Titus, Paul is passing it to them and also to Timothy. When you look at all the pastoral letters, he's passing it on to them, but also on to faithful men to lead the church, but mostly to serve the body of Christ as examples. not to raise up followers of themselves like we see in so many places today, but to reproduce the faith of the elect and the acknowledgement of the truth for the sanctification of the saints, which accords to godliness, to grow and mature so that the truth can mature our faith as we walk in the truth. And he says, to Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Titus, a true son. Much like Timothy, Paul saw himself as their spiritual fathers. Likely came to faith, you know, Titus, just like Timothy, likely came to faith through Paul's teaching and preaching. And here he says, in our common faith. There's only one faith, Paul says. Paul is referring to a faith shared by all believers, though, and those who trust in Jesus Christ. It's a faith according to the scriptures. And he says, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And what we see as he opens up this letter and introduces to this, he said, we see that order is important for the church, and it's for all of us to pursue together. It's not about doing what the guy with the title says. It's about each of us growing together in the grace and mercy and peace of God, serving one another, encouraging one another in the faith to walk according to the truth of God's word and to mature in our walk with the Lord together, to be an inspiration to one another. So that you might be to somebody, you know, somebody in your life, and maybe somebody is here because you have served the Lord in that capacity and been an impact, made an impact in their life, like somebody made an impact in your life. Inviting them to church, inviting them to Bible study. Ladies, you've got a women's retreat coming up. Invite your loved ones to the women's retreat. I don't know how many rooms they have available, but we'll call ahead. You know, you have an opportunity to pour into others according to the faith that you have in Christ and the truth of God's word. So important in a world that you don't know what's coming next. As I said, you know, they're UFOs. Now, they don't call them UFOs anymore because that's silly. They call them UAPs. Just to confuse you even further. But there's something that we can all be sure of this morning, and that is God's word. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray for your church, and certainly tests and trials are coming. Lord, everything seems to be out of whack and out of order. Lord, people blindly following titles and positions, but Lord, not growing, not maturing in their walk with you. Lord, shipwreck is being suffered everywhere because of disorder. Lord, because men and women are trying to gather people after themselves, whether it be for sordid gain, all the warnings that you have in the scriptures, Lord, they have itching ears and they heap up for themselves those who will tell them what they want to hear. So I just pray, Lord, that you would fill us again with your Holy Spirit. Move among your church, Lord. That our faith would be built on the foundation of the rock, of your truth. Because we know that storms are coming, winds are gonna blow. Lord, we don't wanna be like the foolish ones who built upon the sand, but that our foundation is your truth, Lord. That you had determined from the foundation of the world that whoever would put their faith and trust in you, Lord, would be saved and have a hope of eternal life. We thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray if there's anybody who, Lord, maybe has been waffling or on the fence about these things, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts. Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them. They want to know, Lord, so many have asked that question, if you're real, Lord. If you're real, let me know. I pray that you would reveal yourself this morning. Lord, that they would make that decision to follow you. Lord, we know that it's by your Spirit and your Word that that work can be done. And Lord, I pray that we would be a body of servants, Lord, who live to impact one another and impact the lives of others as your Word and your Gospel and your truth, Lord, guides us and speaks through us, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. You know, one thing I was going to say before, as we prepare to go out, and I don't know what song they're going to choose, but it's in every one of the songs that we sang this morning, that hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, that's comes from the old, some of the Psalms, the Hallel Psalms. It means praise Jehovah, praise the Lord. But the only place you find it in the scriptures is in the book of Revelation, as the elders and the angels fall down before the Lord. It is the only word found in every language that is pronounced the exact same way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For me, I like, you know, sometimes I can be a little pie in the sky, but I believe that God has given that to the church, that that is truly a heavenly word, because you only see it used in one place, and that's before the throne of God. We have an opportunity to enter in before the throne of God and praise the Lord. So why don't you stand? Let's go out praising him.